thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. This is an episode on the Flower Farmer Forum, Friday featured flower farmer. Seven F's. So I want you to listen to these flower farmers and just see if there's someone that you connect. Every single episode of these bonus episodes, they come out for sure once a month, but we do a bonus episode every other Friday. It just might not be a 7F episode. So these episodes are going to be interviewing flower farmers across the world. You can apply to be one of them. And I just want to connect people to different ideas, different ways of growing, find someone that might be in a similar growing zone as you. And there's definitely room for more locally grown, more flower farmers. It's just we can't probably all sell the same exact way in the forms of subscriptions, stem bars, U-picks. We need to get a little bit creative in our modes of selling. So I'm trying to interview people that have a unique way of selling, whether that's wholesale or just brides or events or whatever that might be. So without further ado, here's the next episode of Flower Farmer Forum, Friday featured flower farmers. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. Every other Friday throughout our growing season here in Minnesota, which is essentially April through the end of September, we are doing an episode every other Friday called the Flower Farmer Forum, Friday featured flower farmer, which yes, that is seven F's. And we give a whole lot of F's about these farmers. So I at some point I will say that without laughing, but I just think I'm so funny and so creative. No one else thinks I'm that funny. But today we have Nicole from Olson Blooms. And what I'm really excited about these Flower Farmer Forum, Friday featured flower farmer episodes is when you listen to them, I want you to hear someone that maybe has a similar growing zone, maybe has a similar, you know, the crops that they grow or the customer base that they serve. We try to do a variety of the way that people sell. So let's dive in and let's learn all about Nicole from Olson Blooms. So go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell us your name, your farm name, and where you're located.
All right. So my name is Nicole Strafelda. I own Olson Blooms. People are always wondering, where does the Olson come from? Well, my maiden name is Olson. And when I got married, I'm one of three sisters. And my grandpa had all sisters, my great grandpa. There wasn't really like any lineage for the Olson name. So I wanted to keep that somehow. And I actually, my cut flower garden is on the edge of the field of the first field that my great grandpa had bought and farmed and owned. And so it was kind of just like a homage to my ancestors. So I'm in Holly, Minnesota, which is about a half an hour east of Fargo-Moorhead area. So on like the northwest part of Minnesota. I'm zone 4. I feel like it can be 3 every once in a while, but it's zone, it says it's listed as 4. So
4A.
Yes, exactly.
So tell us the backstory of your farm. Like, what is your background? When did you start flower farming? When did you start this business? What did you do before?
Okay, so after school, I went to college at NDSU. I hear you're a jackrabbit fan.
Oh, I didn't know you were a bison.
A bison, yes.
Yeah. So my undergrad and graduate
We're SDSU and my whole family went to South Dakota State. So,
okay. Anyways. So,
little rivalry there.
Yes, exactly. You guys did wonderful this year. We struggled, but you know, that's how that goes. It's hard to like have a reign for that long and not have something.
Yes. We are football rivals and a lot, honestly, not, I wouldn't say rivals, but our schools are very similar. And DSU are very similar schools, like the College of Ag and Bio and Little Lie and the clubs and the like. I kind of tell people like it's the same school. It's just colder up there.
So. Right, exactly. And like it's good caliber of play too. So like they're, you know, I feel like in basketball or football or volleyball, like it's a good level of competition. So that's always nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I went to NDSU and I got a dual degree there of elementary ed and human development and family science. And so after that, I went and I taught for 5 years in West Fargo. It was like a bigger, I came from a small town. So it was interesting in teaching in a bigger school.
And where did you
grow up? I grew up in Holly, actually. So I'm back.
So where you're
like, I live now where I'm at. So the town when I was growing up was probably 1800. I would say it's about 2200 now. So it's a small community, but it's so close to like the Fargo-Moorhead and also Detroit Lakes, Minnesota area. We're kind of close to the lakes. So we feel like we're almost like a suburb or, you know, a bedroom community to Fargo. So I've always enjoyed it. But I taught in West Fargo for 5 years. And during that course, like I taught fifth graders. I really did like teaching. I enjoy working with kids, but my dad got sick and he had some multiple different like health issues and my family farms here in Holly. And I'm the oldest of three girls. So it got to that point where he was wondering, what's the end goal here? Who's going to take over? What does that look like? And he did need a little help in the short term as well. So I made the decision to stop teaching. It was difficult because I it's not that I didn't like it, but I always had the inkling of, was there something else? You know, like I almost like wanted to get out of the farm so quickly because of how much work it can be and all those feelings. But then like, once you're away, you realize like how tied you are to it. And so at that point, my youngest sister was thinking of going into ag econ, but she was still at NDSU. And so she could only help part-time. So I made the decision to stop. I helped part-time for a couple years until she graduated. And then we all kind of had to decide what was our role going to look like. And at that point, I ended up getting pregnant, having my first child. My husband travels a lot. And it was just getting to be too much for our family. Like me with 16-hour days helping on the farm, my husband gone, my mom trying to help with kids, but it just got to be too much. So that's when we kind of had a decision as a family of like my youngest sister was probably going to take over and then I would help part time. And through this, I had like started messing with perennials and flowers around my house that I had at that time. I ended up finding this cut flower garden book made by Florette. I think everybody kind of like knows her. And it was funny because I actually found the book the day that I stopped teaching. A student had given me a Barnes & Noble gift card. And so I was like crying and I didn't know where like my life was. I didn't know if I made the right choice. It was whatever. And I'm wandering like Barnes & Noble and I see this book. And I've never really been into flowers, like the bouquets from the store. I was like, they're fine. But like, it wasn't something I was super into. But then I saw her book and was like, they can look like that. You know, I just, I thought it was beautiful, but I didn't have time to like dive in. And I just bought that book, another book, and then got out and lived my life. And then like a year or two after that, I opened it up. And that's kind of when I was a little lost of like, where did I fit in this world? Like, did I want to go back to teaching? Did I still like farming? Like, what did that look like? And so I had read just like start small. So I started with snapdragons, zinnias, and cosmos. And I threw them in my garden. The cosmos and zinnias were beautiful. My snapdragons didn't grow because I didn't realize that you have to transplant.
You just throw them in the ground.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So there was like my first thing. And then I started also cutting like from my perennials. And it was like, once you give somebody a bouquet and their face lights up, like I was hooked at that point. It was so fun. And so I started doing a little bit more. And then at that point, it was just getting hard with my family because it was almost like just one sister had to take over. Like family businesses are hard and they get muddy. And we kind of made a decision as a family that one person needed to move forward. And I love like the technology part and the managing part, but so did my sister. And we really lacked somebody that would want to work on the equipment. And so it just wasn't my strong suit. I like driving the equipment, but I don't like working on it or doing a lot of that kind of stuff. So We talked about me stepping back even more, them hiring somebody different. And I just step in the spring and summer, or spring and fall, and like the busy times. So I plant and I harvest. But through that transition, I also realized that I was getting lost in the mix. Like I was a mom, I was a sister, I was a wife, I, you know, all the things, but I was missing like something for myself. And so that's when I made the decision that I needed to move forward with my own thing. I think my family thought I was a little crazy. I think my husband was like, oh, this is a lot, but we'll figure it out. And we kind of have, and it's just, it's something that I've had to really be careful of figuring out like what my goals are for myself, but also for my family and what fits with those goals and what it looks like. And so I feel like I just need to keep myself in check every so often. Cause it's always like, well, I could do this or I could do this, but like what fits for our family, what fits our needs. And so and of course, like year two, then I ended up getting pregnant and had a baby right in the middle of the season. And so that always throws things off for a loop as well. So I feel like I'm going into year three now, and I've got some goals and things that I want to do, but it's also just finding that balance between everything. I had struggles with infertility and then with loss as well. And so I feel like all that stuff shapes your mind in a different way moving forward to what that looks like. So I'm still kind of navigating that, but enjoying it in the process too.
Yeah. So when you first started out, what did you think this business was going to look like? And I always love to ask this question. And then we're going to talk about what you do offer now. And again, we're recording this in March of 2024. So if someone listens in, you know, 2025 and they're like, well, I heard that you do this, like, nah, I don't do that anymore. But what did you think it was going to be? Because I love asking this question because it ranges anywhere from, oh, I thought I would sell to florists, or I thought, you know, whatever. So what did you think sure. it's going to be?
So I am a perfectionist at heart. I struggle. I just will think about anything to death. Like, and so I was so nervous and so scared of like what it was going to look like. And so I really did a lot of research of what I felt comfortable with. I actually grew for 2 years before I started my business. And in that time, like I had given my flowers to friends. I had done like a couple like bouquet bars and stuff just for fun and just to practice and just to see vase life. And so I had kind of actually had somewhat an idea of the things that I liked. So when I first started, I wanted it small. And I knew that because I had a daughter at home and I am full-time home with them as well, plus helping out the farm too. So it gets to be a lot. So I had first wanted to start with just subscriptions and then doing like a workshop where, you know, I wanted to create a space for people to come to just have some fun, get a night away and just relax. So those were the two things I wanted to focus on. And those are the two of the things that I still do to this day too.
So your goal was kind of just start small, have something to more of a, I don't want to say a hobby, but right. Like maybe you were like, right. You didn't have big aspirations for your heart.
Yes, exactly. It was just, it was literally something that like, I kind of got addicted, as we do with the plants.
And I needed pay for your hobby of growing flowers, right? And that's not insulting. And there's nothing wrong with if that was your goal, like sell enough to pay for my hobby and I'm home and
right, exactly.
Groceries or whatever.
Right, exactly. And so that's kind of where it started. And then, you know, like then you start learning about the business side. And I never thought of myself as a business person. Like, you know, and especially even like with my family's farm, like I enjoyed the growing part, but I didn't realize like how addicting the business side of things can become and like how much more there is to learn there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like I'm a constant tug and pull of myself of how much can I handle, you know? And mm-hmm. So that's what I feel like I'm constantly looking at, like, is this worth the amount of time that it's going to take away from my family? Cause that's literally kind of what ends up being a stay-at-home full-time mom. That's kind of where it gets at. And so I feel like I always go through with a fine tooth nail of like, or like what is important and what's important to my family. So.
Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy, and I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website, because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks.
So what do you sell and offer now on your farm? What does it look like?
So I do spring and summer bouquet subscriptions, and just for the local area. And then I do like DIY bloom buckets. And that was one fun thing that I kind of pushed last year, especially with being pregnant. Like it was a lot to do workshops or pop-ups or things like that. And so that's where it's just a bucket of flowers. And then people just take that and they can do whatever they want with. It was so fun to see like what people would do with it, whether it's birthday parties or like work events or bridal showers, all those kind of things. And then I didn't do it last year because I was pregnant, but this year I'll bring them back, just like a flower arranging workshop, which I loved. It was so fun to be able to like see the customers and like actually get their feedback. Cause I think sometimes with the subscriptions, I almost feel like in the dark, cause I don't know necessarily what they think unless they tell me. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard last year to not get feedback. I feel, you know, like I tried out like surveys and stuff, but there's only so much time that people have to be able to do that kind of stuff. And so I'm excited to bring that back. And then my hope is that, well, and I have done a dried flower pop-up in the past too. So whenever I have extra stems or any little things, I like to dry. And then I created like almost like a dried bar mm-hmm. of flowers, and then made wreaths and whatnot. And that was just kind of a nice way to like have something in the fall and just have like one event. But I've also liked doing that as well. So I kind of taken like a page from your book and like looking into maybe doing a couple flower bars, just like pop up when I've got enough this year. So that's something that I'm looking to add. And then I'm also looking to add like a winter wreath workshop, so I can have something kind of in the winter time. I've got enough land and enough evergreens and things like that to be able to harvest that stuff myself. So my hope is that like it could kind of be another avenue as well. So
what is your why in your business?
My why, I would have to say, is like, I don't know if this feels so selfish saying, but like I need something for myself. I needed to be in charge of something. Like I have a control freak side that like I am ran by my kids. You know, when I was farming, I felt like I was ran by my family. When I was teaching, I felt like I was ran by the system. Like I just needed something for myself that like I made the full decision. Nobody else got to choose. Like it was really like a control thing for me, I feel like, or just like an outlet. And I feel like flowers have always been something that I go to when I need a little therapy or a little like quiet time, outside time. And it's something I always kind of went to. So it's something that like, I feel like I enjoy bringing that to other people and like being able to see a smile on somebody's face and like see somebody else like be able to work with these flowers. It's addicting. And I love seeing that. So that's, I guess, like my why is having something for me, but then also like allowing an outlet for somebody else too.
No. And I think that is so important, because we are all intrinsically motivated. We all have our reasons, and it's almost, you know, selfish if you just say, because I like it and I want to do it and I want to have this for me. And I want to see if I can, and maybe I want to prove to myself that I can do this. And none of it is that you have to, like, none of it, we don't have to do any of this, but I've always am curious, you know, as well as I do, our listeners know as well as we do, it'll be really interesting. My prediction is in 5 years, 3/4 of the flower farmers will not be doing it. Right. Like, if I'm being honest, I think that there's enough to go around, but to really dive in, I think people get into it because they love flowers and they want to grow mm-hmm. and it's a good way to, you know, whatever. But then when you start looking at, you know, if you focus and spend so much time focusing on the flowers, then you're not focusing on selling, and now you don't have a business, and it can quickly suck. And, you know,
and it's a lot of work. Like, people don't realize how much work and research and stuff goes into it. Like the growing part is so small, actually, I feel like now.
And I don't want anyone working 70 hours a week. I don't want anyone. I mean, that's where I fell down that rabbit hole was I was working. I mean, if you count from the time I left my driveway to the time I get home, my 3 days a week as a nurse practitioner, and then like finishing up charts, it was still probably like 28 to 30 hours a week. But I was part-time. I was only 3 days a week. And then I had 2 weekdays, but they were just exhausting. And then I had to do stuff in the weekends. And like, after I got home from my nurse practitioner job, I'm working on the flower farm. And it's like, what is sustainable here? What is, you know, and when people are like, well, I want to build the flower business, but I'll never quit my 9-to-5 because of, you know, whatever. And then I'm like, why do you want a side bit? Like, I don't know. I just,
exactly.
I don't get why that would ever be a long-term goal. I don't know. We're going off on a tangent here, but
no, but I completely agree.
You know, I think that there's nothing selfish about, you know, when you're like, oh, I don't want to admit that I wanted it for me, but of course you do. And that's okay. That's okay to say that you want it for you because, you know, you have to have a reason why you want to do something. And I think that's admirable. And, you know, do you have 2 daughters or is it
a son? Yes, I have 2. So I have a 5-year-old and then now a 7-month-old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's entirely doable. And it's, you know, you'll have to pick and choose and decide, you know, the childcare.
And that's why, like, I am ruthless about what I allow to do and not to do. And, you know, it gets really hard being in a small town community, especially people that know me. It's great for, you know, having relationships, but it's also hard because you get asked to do a lot of things and a lot of people struggle maybe with the pricing of things or what that looks like. And so I've always been like a very nice, you know, like, person. I don't want to make anybody mad, but there's also like a point that my family is the most important and I've got to keep my boundaries on that stuff because it can erode quickly and it can like take over your life quickly. And so having some of that balance between the two has been, you know, it's been a struggle, but at this point, like I've enjoyed learning, like what's some efficient tricks that we can do? What are ways to make myself like more efficient? And I found that like to focus on that part of stuff has been a lot better than just how pretty the flowers are. So like the prettiness is kind of like, you know, I can focus in my own stuff or my own things, but like the business side is kind of where, I don't know. I feel like, again, I've gone down on a tangent, but like, yeah, just like honing in all those things or whatever has been fun to kind of change my mindset on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So what do you grow now compared to when you started out growing? Did you think you had to grow all the things? Did you hone it?
Yeah, I definitely started that I need to like grow it all. I did start small, at least like with 3. And then I eased my way up. I definitely think that I've hit a point where I have like grown as much as I, you know, like probably need to. So I think like last year was like 45 different things. And that's like between annuals, perennials, all the things. But I also feel like I needed to start somewhere and I needed to learn what I liked and what I didn't like. And I also feel like with my customers, one of their biggest thing, my selling points of my subscriptions is they like to see the change of the seasons and like the changing of the flowers. And so I do try to like keep a different amount. I grow on a very, very small scale compared to a lot of people, but I don't feel like I waste a stem because I know where each one of those are going for. And I like to, I follow like kind of like a certain pattern of crops that I grow because they like that mixture and the change of different things. So I feel like I'm constantly honing it in, but I will say the more I grow, I've always had a love for perennials more than anything else. And that's where I'm starting to move forward is like adding more perennials, focusing on foliages, and also adding some shrubs too. So I'm trying to kind of focus on some things that are more sustainable and not quite as much like yearly work, but things that I feel like I know I can count on to be there. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So where do you think, you know, what is your goal in 1 year and 5 years?
Okay. So 1 year, I would say like this is where I'm starting to add a few more perennials. I want to learn how to propagate a little bit more. I mean, I've always done splitting and things like that, but I almost want to figure out a little bit more of like taking cuttings and stuff like that. Just because, again, I want to kind of build a sustainability part of it. And then I have a wind that comes through so bad on our property. We have such a bad like south wind. Like I said, I'm right on the edge of a field. And so I want to add like a shrub line, and then I'm going to be adding a bunch of ornamental like woodies this year. And then a few like natives as well or whatever. So that's my hope right now, is just kind of add like some shrubs, add some perennials, add some things that are going to have some longevity to them. That's probably my biggest one this year. And then plus just get a little bit more customer interaction, because last year was tough. Mm-hmm. Had a baby in the middle of the season. It just cut things off a little bit. So I'm hoping to see my customers a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Year five. Like, I feel like I've always had plans. I've always, like, I knew who I was going to marry. I was going to marry a farmer, and I was going to come back. My husband is a city boy from the cities. Like, he's just from, I should say, West St. Paul, because not everybody knows the cities or whatever. But so, I same with this business and same with teaching. I feel like I've always had a 5-year plan, and like nothing has turned out the way I have. And so when I say this loosely, and for the first time in my life, I feel like I don't quite know, and I feel okay with that. Normally, like, that would scare me, but I feel like I'm moving towards more, like I said, like the perennial shrubs. And so what that looks going forward, like, I never really wanted to necessarily work with florists, but I'm more open to it now than I had like thought about in the past. But again, I have 2 young kids at home, so I'm doing what I feel like works for me right now. But once they get in school, and when things change, and when they're busier in the summer, that might be somewhere where I look to a little bit more. There is like one thing that's always been in the back of my mind, is somehow merging teaching kids and gardening together. And so I don't always know what that looked like. I had first thought that maybe like I'd have them on our property or something like that. But my family's we just moved to this property last year. It was my family's in the past. But my family and my husband, we've really talked about not having people on our property. And so that's why we don't do U-picks, and I don't do any of that stuff, just because that's what we've decided as a boundary as our family. So I don't necessarily know what that would look like with kids and gardening, but like, I know that was kind of a goal for me, and now it's not. I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but no, I think I have like these big overarching things of where I want to go. I just don't know how, like, where I'll get that. Cause a baby has changed everything. For a second, we went through infertility and loss, and I didn't know if I was ever going to have a kid again. And now being able to have that, that's kind of given me like a new fresh perspective of like, I did want a family more than I thought I did. And so I want to have both, and figuring out how they mix together and how they work together is just, yeah, I don't know.
I think that what I try to promote on this podcast or in my social media or whatever I do is I just want it to be authentic. Like, I don't want anyone ever to be like, oh, well, Liz, she's kind of fake, or oh, her podcast or what she talks about is whatever. I think admitting that you don't have a 5-year plan for this business and you're just seeing where it goes, I would imagine that 80% of the listeners on this podcast are like, oh, okay, I thought it was just me. I thought I didn't know really what I wanted this to be. And I also think that, you know, there's a lot of different approaches, you know, you can take it. I would say year one, year two, I mean, obviously I had social situations and personal things going on that didn't allow for, you know, me to look forward. But sometimes when you focus so hard on like what it's supposed to be or what it's going to be, or here's the plan and I have to stick to this plan, you put blinders on to possibilities. And mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you are looking at it with an open mind, like, hey, what we're doing right now is working. It, you know, it's generating enough revenue. It's, you know, doing this, doing that, it's meeting all the basic, you know, foundation goals that I have. And we'll just see, like, I'll reevaluate later, but for a while, I'm gonna stick to the status quo. I think that's okay. So I commend you for saying, I don't know, because I'm willing to bet the majority of the listeners are like, okay, at least, you know, because if I do 2 of these a month for 6 months, and I have 12 flower farmers on here, and 11 of them, you know, are in my 5-year goals, I'm going to do this, 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 this. Hey, guess what? Now we got Nicole who says, I don't know. I'm willing to bet the majority of the listeners are like, oh, hey, Nicole, hey, how's it going? I'm going to follow her and see what happens. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to include, you know, your social handles, all of that in the link. I really want to help make those networking connections. That's my goal for these Flower Farmer Forum, Friday featured flower farmers. I just love saying it. I just love saying all the seven F's. I've gotten better at it. The first two times I was like, blah, 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 blah. But, you know,
I'm impressed. Actually, like, I can't believe you can say it.
And so, cool. Like I said, I'm so excited to have, you know, we've got one coming up. She's from Australia. I have someone from the United Kingdom. I have someone from Washington State. I have someone down in Florida, like entirely different growing zones, offering totally different things. So I'm just excited to kind of look at different offerings.
Yeah. And I appreciate you doing this, because I think it's huge. It's so helpful for people. And just to hear others. And like, sometimes I think social media is fantastic, but we see such a curated thing, and mm-hmm. it's so easy to get into that comparison trap. And then when you start talking to somebody, you're like, oh, they have issues too. I didn't realize that. Like,
I thought I was the only one.
Right, exactly. And you know, with business, there's always like bigger, better, all the things. And mm-hmm. sometimes I think it's okay to sit in the like, we just figure it out, you know, as we go. And yeah, and I want this to be a long-term thing. And that's, I think, a fear of mine, that, like you said, most of these people, I think in 5 years might not there. And I would
and,
like
and
to
there's be. Nothing wrong with that. It's just no. I find that, okay, this was what I thought it was going to be, and it was a goal that I thought I was going to have, and
exactly, because it can be hard, and it can take so much like from you and from your family mm-hmm. and from everything. And so I want to find a way that it's sustainable for my family, so it'll keep going on. So yeah, totally.
Exactly. Anything else you want to add? So we met in person. You came to Flower Farmer Forum in January in St. Cloud. We hold that once a year. So if you're new to the podcast, follow our page, listen, you're not going to miss it. Don't worry. The next one that happens, you'll find out about it. But yeah, so it was so nice to get to meet you in person, but to see you and connect again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Liz. And thanks for all the work that you're doing. And I know it's a lot of work, so we appreciate it.
Thank you. That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.